To the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, having a great time here at Bob Enyart Live. Because of the show we did yesterday, we had so much positive feedback. It's about the future, whether the future is settled or open, whether the future is settled or open. And there's a debate going on online at theologyweb.com. And the debate is between the founder of the Collaborators Project, of all people, Will Duffy, and this regular over at T-Web, Joltus. And in studio, to continue our discussion of this debate, I have Will Duffy. Will, welcome back to the studio.
Hey, Bob. It's great to be back.
So many people enjoyed the show yesterday. We're talking about the future, whether it's settled or open. And, for example, some young family, they have four kids, they're Christians. Will their kids go to heaven or not? And so many millions of Christians believe the future is settled. So that, let's say, two are going to go to heaven, two are going to go to hell. And whether you believe that the future is settled because it's decreed or the future is settled because it's foreknown, either way, the future is settled. That's not very comforting of a worldview. And there are many Christians that are beginning to rethink that whole argument and showing from Scripture that the future is not settled, that in fact it's open.
Yeah, Bob, I'm excited to talk about this too. It's such an important topic, and I can't wait to continue talking about this debate.
So your whole debate so far, we're halfway through it. It's a brief debate. It's not concluded. But your argument is that God is free. You say that the open theism movement is going beyond the debate of man's free will to a more fundamental question: is God free? Does God have the ability to decide one way or another? That really is the foundation of the truth on this issue.
Yeah, this is so easy to understand, which is what I like about it so much. It's so easy to think in these terms of, you know, God being free and God deciding what God wants to do.
So since you started this debate, and you started it on this fundamental issue of God's freedom and dealing with creation. And so we're halfway through, and we're in the post that was written by your opponent, Joltus, and he's quoting you. That's where we left off. So let me begin right there in the middle of the debate.
Sounds good.
All right. Joltus quotes you from your previous post saying, you wrote, Will Duffy wrote, God was free to create. And since God was not forced by anyone or anything to create, the future was therefore open and not settled. If the future was settled, God would have been forced to create the exact same way the settled future said he would. But our God is free, and the future is therefore open. Okay. Now, Joltus responds. He writes, this is false. Okay, so he disagrees. We know that because he's debating you.
That's right.
He writes, this is false. You are assuming an open future.
Huh?
Huh? Which is what you are trying to prove. Will, you weren't assuming an open future there.
No, I didn't assume anything. I basically provided my evidence and tried to show with the evidence that the future was open.
Yeah, you say, because God is free to decide to create, therefore the future must be open because God is free. He could create or not. He could create in a certain way or not, in a certain day or not. So therefore, the future must be open because God is free. That's your conclusion from that evidence. But Joltus says you are assuming an open future, which I don't know. I doubt he's being insincere. He just doesn't. He's very uncomfortable with the simplicity of your argument.
Yeah, he is. And I think this is very easy for the audience to understand. Nobody or nothing forced God to create. That was his free choice. And if God has the ability to create or the ability not to create or the ability to create in a different way, right, there is nothing settled about that future. Nothing at all.
Like the stripes on a zebra. Did God have to stripe a zebra exactly the way he did it? Or was that part of his creative process? That was part of God's creative process. There was no fatalism involved on the way a zebra had to look.
Yeah, let's say God decided to create a zebra with X number of stripes. Did God have the ability, the power, the freedom to create a zebra with Y amount of stripes? Of course.
Right. Or wiggly stripes or horizontal stripes. Yeah. So, okay, so let's continue. So, Joltus says, your point here assumes the conclusion and is therefore not a valid argument. Well, that's, you didn't assume it. You gave your evidence. My evidence is God was free to create. And you are asserting that. You're asserting that God was free. And you said earlier, Joltus, do you think God was free to create? And he said he agreed, right?
Yeah, he totally agreed with that. And you have to agree. If God was not free to create the heavens and the earth, is he really God?
Is he really God? Something really weird is going on if God was not free to create the heavens and the earth. Free to create or not to create. There's something really weird going on.
Yeah.
It's sort of like that Greek paganism stuff where even Zeus was caught up in fate. You know, there's fate, and mankind was caught up in fate. You just, if you try to avoid lightning striking, you move and it hits you anyway. It's fate. But then to the Greeks, even the gods were caught in fate. There's nothing they can do to get away from it. And so there's the danger of making God just another being caught up in fate. He had to design a butterfly the way he did. He had no choice.
Yeah, and it's very interesting to see how hard it is for them to just deal with this simple question, whether or not God was free to create.
Yeah.
It's so simple, but yet so powerful, and you see them just obfuscate.
And so your argument there is, because God was free to create, and Joltus said, I totally agree, put that in quotes, totally agree. Your argument is, because God was free to create, therefore the future was open, at least at that time. It was open.
That's right.
And
very,
so,
very easy to understand.
So he says, your point here assumes the conclusion is not therefore a valid argument. So it's just, he's confused. I think it's because an Arminian like Joltus is very uncomfortable dealing with these simple concepts. I don't believe he's intentionally misstating your argument. He's just uncomfortable.
Yeah, I don't know if he's ever really been faced with this argument or mm-hmm. thought it through.
Yeah, it seems like, well, it was 4.5 months. Between your last post and his follow-up earlier this week. So, you know, he's obviously struggling a bit.
Yeah.
Okay, so then he quotes you again. You wrote, Joltus, did God have the ability to create any differently than he did? And Joltus, to his credit, he writes, possibly, but I am not sure. So, okay. He's being honest and saying possibly. Now, he should be able to say, of course, God could create differently.
Yeah, this isn't a possibility. This is a certainty.
Well, it should be.
It should be. But
I agree.
When you get so wrapped up in these weird views that the future is settled and all this stuff,
then
you get confused.
You can't admit what is obvious. Like, for example, you know, they like to bring up moral questions. Like, you're not saying, could God create an impossible universe or a universe where people are evil and God blesses them for being evil? You're not saying that. Just, could God have created differently, like stripes on a zebra? Or let's say atoms on a star, Alpha Centauri. It's 4 light years away. That's about 24 trillion miles away. Could God have put an additional atom of hydrogen on Alpha Centauri?
Possibly, I'm not sure.
Possibly, I'm not sure. Could God have made it bigger or smaller or brighter? God is the creator. He's the designer. It was up to him. What a monarch butterfly would look like was up to God. It's not as though God had this option. Okay, if I'm going to create, if I decide to create, that's it. Then all decisions are done for me. It has to be, the monarch has to look that way. I mean, that's just so silly.
Yeah, it's absurd. And nobody reading my question, was God free to create differently, thought I was talking about moral issues.
No.
They understood.
Right.
So did Joltus.
Right. So, okay. So he says, you ask, did God have the ability to create any differently than he did? Joltus says, possibly, but I am not sure. He should have said yes. And then he talks about, he says, if you mean did his character limit him to a single possibility of creation, He says, well, that's possible, but I'm not certain. And that's, it's...
That's ridiculous, and that leaves for, again, a God who is not free.
Yeah. And the reason they get all twisted up like this is it's extremely common for Christians and theologians to assert that God is timeless, that God exists in an eternal now. They say God is in an eternal now, he's timeless, and therefore that's why we have a hard time comprehending these simple issues. Actually, they are simple issues, and I don't think we have a hard time at all understanding that God had the ability to decide to create. But they do argue that. They argue that God is somehow outside of time.
Yeah, and this whole idea of timelessness is really just a way out of answering these questions. And it's definitely not biblically based, and I think it presents us with some real problems, like, is Jesus Christ on the cross right now?
Whoa. Of course, Jesus Christ is not on the cross right now.
No, he died once for all.
If God exists in an eternal now, like a lot of our greatest Christian leaders say, oh, it's all right now to God. So eternally, you're unsaved to God. You're unregenerate. Eternally, you're under conviction to get saved. Eternally, you're praying to be saved. Eternally, you are saved. Your sins are eternally in front of God, as is, you know, this current moment. In fact, no moment is the real moment. So we might as well pray for the dead, I guess, because they're still alive to God. So there's so much contortion in that. So that's a good argument to show that God does not exist in an eternal now, because that would mean Jesus Christ is eternally suffering on the cross, and God the Father is eternally pouring out his wrath on the Son. That's clearly not true. The whole story of the Bible, God looked forward to the cross, and then he said it will never happen again. It's over. It's finished. Never to happen again. And now God looks back to the cross.
Yeah, so this view is, it hasn't happened, it is happening, and it did happen. It's so bizarre.
Yeah. And Jesus, in a sense, gave us information we could use to think through this with that his interpretation of the burning bush passage in the Gospels. Remember that?
Yeah. In Mark 12, the Sadducees, which denied the resurrection, were responded to on this point by Jesus. And Jesus said that, you know, did you not read in the burning bush passage how God spoke to him saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Jesus could have said, well, God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob because he's outside of time.
Yeah, but Jesus' whole point was, if they were dead, it would not be valid for God to say, I'm Abraham's God, because Abraham would be dead. But in fact, there is a resurrection. Our life, we don't cease to exist when we die. So, yeah, that and so many biblical examples show that that's a false view. In fact, that view, here's what a lot of theologians think about. When they think of God, they use these terms. And Will, the terms I'm going to list, they're not from the Bible. They're from pagan Greek philosophy, like Plotinus and Aristotle. Timelessness, no time. No past or future, only now, eternally present, eternal now. Those are all pagan Greek philosophical terms. The Bible, all the terms the Bible uses to describe God and his eternity, they all have to do with duration of time, all of them, like everlasting. He's the everlasting God. He's from of old, forever, forever and ever, the Ancient of Days. I have a list of these in front of me. From before the ages of the ages, from ancient times. These are all descriptive of God. Before the world was, before the foundation of the earth.
How can that be before the world was?
Yeah, before the world was. And God is called to him who is and who was and who is to come. The scripture speaks of God's years never end. Before you had formed the earth, from everlasting to everlasting. That's how the Bible presents God. And I think it's a mistake to throw out everything the scripture says about God and replace it with this pagan Greek philosophy. And Will Duffy, you teach Greek. You know this. A lot of the people in the audience, this will be new information. But a couple passages where we read in the New Testament, before time began, turns out the verb began is not in those verses. And even the Greek word for time is not in those verses. It's just a prepositional phrase. It says from the ages of the ages, from the ages to the ages. The New Testament didn't say before time began. That's how some translators interpreted that phrase, because they buy into this pagan Greek timelessness stuff.
Yeah, this is not something that's been exegeted out of the Bible. This stuff is making its way into the Bible because of the pagan Greek philosophical influence.
All right, so Joltus at T-Web, in your debate with him, is the future settled or open? He quotes you again. You wrote this. The next logical question in this debate is whether or not God remains free to create. Can God still create? Is God eternally creative, or has he lost that ability? I believe the answer is yes, God is eternally creative. And then Joltus responds, he can create, but that does not mean he is eternally creative. And that's just, it's so peculiar to see people trying to defend indefensible ideas.
Yeah, I don't know if we should expect anything different. These arguments are so strong and airtight. God is free. The future is open.
Yeah, so Joltus says, yes, God can create, and meaning currently. Like right now, God can still create, but that does not mean he is eternally creative. And they're locked into this dilemma, Will. If they acknowledge openly, simply, that God is still creative, that he could write a new song, make a new butterfly, that he could design a new flower, then the future must not be settled because God is creative. Or they could say, well, he's creative, but he will not ever create anything new. Why not? Well, that would break my theology. So God can't exercise his creativity.
Yeah, even admitting God could create something new makes for an open future, whether or not he would do it or not.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. God could. God is creative. And so they're very hesitant to acknowledge these simple truths about God. And the scriptures tell us that God is creative. And, you know, we should expect new things from God every morning. His mercies are new.
And a new heavens and a new earth.
That's right. And he will create again, and it's going to be awesome. And what? He can't design a new flower? It's too late? But if they say, well, it's too late now, he can't design a new flower because this part of the future was settled. Well, how about in the original creation? Was he able to design the flower back then? And they're in a quandary. Because they have to say, no, it was eternally foreknown. Everything about the future was eternally foreknown from forever past. And that's in a mess, because then God has no ability to affect anything, just like some peon human being. So, all right. So Joltus quotes you again. You wrote, Joltus, you believe creation was a free action. In fact, you quote him. You say, Joltus, you wrote that quote. You believe creation was a free action. Let's take that further. Do you believe God remains free? And Joltus writes, yes, but not unlimited freedom.
Here we go again.
I think he is now limited by his decrees as well as his character. And that's off topic. You're not saying that God could create a righteous devil and punish people for worshiping him when he says you must. You know, none of that silliness.
And on the decrees, I knew this was coming. There is often strategy to a debate. Mm-hmm. And so for the audience here, what we're debating is, was God free to decree?
Was God free to decree?
And even? He will not be able to answer that.
No.
He will not.
Because that implies then at one point God was free. And the future was open, but now it's not. And then he'd have to admit there was a change in the fundamental nature of God. And they can't do that.
Yeah, it's interesting. They can't bring themselves to even admit that the future was open at one point.
In
they
the past,
can't.
It's too devastating to them.
Yeah.
How could you trust God, Will, with an actual ability to make a decision? How could you trust him?
Oh,
I mean,
your
whole worldview, your theology would crumble. And that's actually how they argue. I had a debate on this very issue at theologyonline.com with a professor from D. James Kennedy's ministry, a 10-round moderated debate. And much of his argument came down to this. How could you trust God? How could you trust God? If the future's open, how could you possibly trust God? And he actually said, maybe God will turn on us.
Well, God's free to do so.
Yeah, right. You know? I don't trust God because he's not able to be rotten. I trust God because he's committed to righteousness and goodness and love.
That's right. We trust God because he's good.
Yeah, and the scripture says that righteousness is the foundation of God's throne. It's not his power and knowledge that makes him so great. It's his goodness and love. So
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, love must be freely given. That's such an important point to realize right. In this debate.
Right. So then you post an open future. This is your title, an open future. And you quote Joltus, I totally agree with point one and your explanation of it. So you write, Joltus, your total agreement with me here is very important. Let's recap what you're agreeing with me on. I wrote, since God was free to create the heavens and the earth, what does that mean? It means that God was free not to create. He wasn't forced. He wasn't coerced. God freely created the heavens and the earth and had the ability not to. So then you come out of your quote and you say, God's freedom to create, which you agree with, leads to my conclusion. And then you quoted Joltus again, where he said, you are assuming an open future. And you said, Joltus, I didn't assume an open future. It was my conclusion based on the truth you've already agreed to, that God had the ability to create and the ability not to. There was nothing settled about it. God is free, and you've admitted that God was free to create and free not to. God was free and made the decision to create. The future was open, and you've agreed. That's pretty strong, Will.
Yeah, that's just the reality, though, of these questions and his answers.
If my reasoning for this conclusion is incorrect, you should be able to demonstrate how.
Insert the Jeopardy music. The four-month wait begins now.
The four-month wait. And then Joltus replied just this week, an open future. And he starts by quoting you, where you said, I didn't assume an open future. It was my conclusion, based on the truth you've already agreed to, that God had the ability to create and the ability not to. And Joltus writes, Will, you are assuming your conclusion. And then he gives a 1, 2, 3, but he changes 3 to C. So that's just a tactic, right?
Yeah.
He's trying to show that your C is not, it doesn't follow logically. It's not 1, 2, 3, it's 1, 2, C. 1, God was free to create or not create. 2, God did create. C, the future is open. Now, first of all, 2 is irrelevant to your argument, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. We're not talking about what God did. We're talking about what God had the freedom and ability to do.
Yeah, God was free to create or not to create. And he says, from that you concluded that the future is open, but you actually concluded the future was open.
Correct. I'm trying to establish and get him to admit that the future was actually open at one point in time, which will make it easier to prove that the future is open now.
Right, right. So he writes, there's no logical connection between your premise and your conclusion. You are assuming this. And then he recasts this. 1, God was free to create or not create. He says he agrees with that. 1A, if God was free to create or not create, the future was open. That's what you're saying.
That's exactly what I'm saying, and he's going to be forced to disagree.
Yeah, and so then he concludes, therefore, the future is open, and you haven't gotten there yet.
No, not yet. No. I don't know if we ever will.
No, you asked him, is God still free to create?
We're stuck on these elementary questions. We can't seem to move past them.
Right, and if he would have answered when you said, is God still free to create, he said, possibly, but I don't know, I'm confused, you can't contradict his character, you weren't asking any of that. If he would have said yes, then you've come into the present. Then yes, the future is still open because God is free. He's creative. Okay, so he writes now, listen to this. He writes, I disagree with 1A. If God was free to create or not create, the future was open. He says, I disagree with that.
Well, I'd love to hear why.
Yeah, and here he tries to explain it. Just because God was free does not mean God did not know what he was going to do. In fact, your position demands that this is not so, since whatever God determines to do is, according to your system, not free.
Okay, that makes no sense at all. I never said that. That's bizarre.
Right, and you clarify this in your final post to him. You write, hey, God could decide to do something and then do it. And, of course, that's no challenge to his freedom. That's the way beings work. They decide to do something and they do it. That's irrelevant to your argument.
Yeah, we decided yesterday that we would do this show today.
Right.
And then but we still had the ability to change our mind and not do it.
Yeah, so you were not making that argument. But he's saying this. He's saying two things. He's also saying just because God was free does not mean God did not know what he was going to do. Okay, so that it's a similar argument to the one we just discussed. But your question was, did God have the ability to create or not? Did he actually have that ability? And if he always knew that he had to create, that he was going to create, then he had no ability to refrain.
That's right.
He had no ability to do it otherwise. He was stuck in fate. And where did that fate come from? Where did it come from? Was there ever a time that God didn't know he had to create? So it's a silliness.
Yeah, fate will end up becoming a greater God in this scenario.
Fate becomes the greater God.
And what I'm going to be forced to do here with Jaltus is go back a step further. He's having a very hard time understanding and admitting that God was free to create. Mm. So now we're going to have to take a step back and ask if God was free to decide to create.
So this is what happens. So you now post your latest, the ability to decide, and you address that the point two, that God did create, that's irrelevant to our discussion. We're just talking about God's freedom to create or not, and you point out that he should have said the future was open, so you covered that base. And then you write, Jaltus, you've already agreed that creation was a free action, meaning God had the ability not to create. You already agreed to that. For God to have the ability to create or not create makes the future open regarding creation. It's open and not settled because God truly has the ability to do either A or B, A being create and B being not create. You try to wiggle out of this truth. But my question to you is, did God have the ability to decide to create? You, quote, totally agreed, unquote, when I stated that God wasn't forced or coerced to create. So let's take this one step further. Was God free to decide to create? The foundation for the settled future is crumbling.
Yeah, now this really gets to the heart of the issue. Whose decision was it to create? Fate's or God?
Fate's or God. Did God ever have the opportunity to make that decision? So that's fun. Will, we're out of time.
Hey, it's been great.
It has been great.
TheologyWeb.com.
TheologyWeb.com. We'll put a link at our website, KGov.com. And also, we'll put a link to Battle Royale 10, where I debated Professor Samuel Lamerson of Knox Theological Seminary, who worked for D. James Kennedy. It was a 10-round written, moderated debate on this topic.
Fabulous.
It's a lot of fun. So, Will, thank you for joining me. I appreciate that. And Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada is really a great school. Maranatha. And our website here at Bob and Yurt Live is KGov, KGOV.com. KGOV.com, gov like government, abbreviation for government, K because it's the first initial of a radio or TV broadcast station. So KGov, KGOV.com. You could look at our Bible study resources there. We've got a great seminar on predestination, free will, a debate, DVD debate. So check it out, kgov.com, and God bless you.